This year was made available the Ili Nishmas, Zev Burech ben Shmiel, and Feige Bas Amon Yeshaya. Tahay Nishmusam Tzrira B'Tzroir HaChaim.
Six shulis up from the bottom. The Ozdo Rabbe Letana. Before Rabbe said that he's setting out on a voyage, on a journey, before Pesach, if it's within 30 days, he has to make Bedikas Chomas. Because within 30 days, the Chiyuvim of Pesach already come upon him. If it's before 30 days, he does not have to make Bedikas Chomas unless he intends to come back before Pesach is over. He goes away before 30 days and doesn't intend to return until Pesach is over, he does not have to make Bedikas Chomas. So again now, within 30 days, he always must make Bedikas Chomas. And even before 30 days, if he intends to return before Pesach is over, he has to make Bedikas Chomas. Just talk that to your neighbors. Okay. We're six lines up from the bottom. Vav Amud Aleph. Because the Rabbi, the Tamei, Rabbi goes according to his shita that he said elsewhere, a similar din. The Omar Rabbi, Ho'oi said, Be'iso Oitzer, he makes his house a storehouse of grain. It means in a room he's going to pile up grain. But at the bottom, where he's going to pile up the grain, there's some kernels of the grain that are already chametz. Grain, when you let it stand some time, gets moist and begins to sprout, and it's chometz. The grain itself is chometz. Now, he's making a storehouse, so he's piling in a pile of grain on top of the chometzika kernels. He's going to have that in his possession during Pesach. However, we learned above, if it's under an avalanche, let's say a house caved in, or a hill caved in and covered the chametz, it's considered like it's destroyed. See here also, in a certain sense, when he puts a pile of grain on the chometzika kernels, it's like destroyed. However, it depends. Holy said Be'isa, he makes his house in Eisa, a storehouse of grain, Koydim Shleishim Yoyim, before 30 days before Pesach. And the Zokik, what? He's not forced to remove the Hamadika grains that were on the bottom. Because he'll cover them up now with a big pile, and it's like Mevoyar, like destroyed. Torah Shleishim Yehim, Zokik, but if it's within 30 days, it won't help the fact that it'll be covered up until after Pesach. Within 30 days, the Chiev of Bedikas Chometz is on him, and he has to search out and get rid of the chametz before he puts the grain on top of it. And the kaidim shleishim nami le'amor. And even before 30 days, we didn't say it's mutal elashein da'adel afaleshi. Doesn't intend to remove it until sometime after Pesach. So Pesach will be covered up entirely by this pile of grain, and therefore like destroyed. Avol da'adel afaleshi. But suppose he intends to remove the grain from the top any time before Pesach is over, and he'll expose the chometzika kernels that are hidden beneath, then I feel okay. No matter how long before Pesach it is, he has to get rid of the chometzika kernels before he can put in the grain on top of it. These 30 days, what are they doing? It means, where do you find such an idea that if within 30 days he has chiyuvim? After all, it's not Pesach yet. And so more kiddetanya, learned about Isa. Shayalein v'doshin b'yuchasa Pesach, we inquire, means we ask halachas. We want to learn the halachas, because we don't have sforim in those days. You have to inquire of teachers, the teacher hilchas Pesach, and the teachers are the Chachamim have to darshan in public Hilchos Pesach, Kedem HaPesach Shlishi, in the 30 days before Pesach. So you see, in the 30 days before Pesach, you have to start taking in consideration the dinim of Pesach. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel emer, Shtei Shabbos, 2 weeks. Now that's the reason why we said above, within 30 days, it's hal on him, the chiv, to get rid of the chametz first. The man would destroy the chametz and burn it up to something else. But destroying it by burying it, that's something that's a halfway measure. So if he did it sometime before Pesach, 30 days before, it's mutter. Within 30 days, as he gets rid of it before he buries it. My time is the Tanakhama. What's the reason the Tanakhama says 30 days? And not 2 weeks? Shaharei Moshe Oymed Pesach. Moshe is standing on first Korban Pesach, that is a Korban Pesach Rishon, and for those that are Tamei, there's a Pesach Sheni. So Moshe is standing on the day of Pesach Rishon, Umazhir al Pesach Sheni, and he's giving admonitions about Pesach Sheni. Shenema, he says, V'yasu b'nei Yisrael es ha-Pesach b'me'adi. They should make the Pesach in its time. So he's talking on Pesach Rishon about that. Because it was written, V'hi anoshim asher hoyu t'meil nefesh adi, the people who were tamei tumas mes, and he came to Moshe and said, what should we do? Now, on Pesach Rishon, that's 30 days before Pesach Sheni, Moshe Rabbeinu already told him the din of Pesach Sheni. So you see, 30 days before Pesach Sheni, you have to start thinking about Pesach Sheni. Also, 30 days before Pesach Rishon, it follows, you have to start thinking about Pesach Rishon. Just like for Pesach Sheni, he started 30 days beforehand, so Pesach Rishon also he started 30 days beforehand. That's the reason for the Tanakh comments here. Where Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel Omer says, no proof. Omer Lachai will say to you, it's not because 30 days before Pesach Sheni you should talk about Pesach Sheni. I did the I Rebbe Mila de Pisre, because he was talking about the things of Pesach, he concluded the whole Mila de Pisre, all the other things of Pesach. Not because 30 days before you start talking. It happened while he was talking about Pesach Rishon, so he concluded all the dinim of Pesach, including Pesach Sheni. But otherwise, you don't have to have 30 days before to make any preparations. For I give my time at the Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, who says 2 weeks, and three more, Shaharei Moshe Oymed B'Rosh Chodesh. Moshe is standing on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Umazir Ala Pesach, and he admonishes about Pesach, which is 2 weeks later. This month means the month of Nisan. So he was standing in the month of Nisan. And he said, this month is Rosh Chodesh, the first of the months. Uksiv is written, Dab will call Adas Yisrael, Lamor, Be'osha Lachedesh is on the 10th day of the month, Yikru I Lahem I Shelebes Ovis, and on the 14th day they should shecht it, they're called Pesach. So we see he was standing at the beginning of the month of Nisan, and they're telling him what to do on Pesach. So 2 weeks beforehand, he expected to make preparations for Pesach. That's why it says 2 weeks. It's true, he was in the month of Nisan, but it said, Achedesh Hazeh, this month, he was in the month of Nisan. But how do you know it was Rashedesh? Maybe he was standing on the 4th or the 5th day already. It's also included in Hachedesh as this month, and maybe 10 days before, 11 days before, you have to prepare. How do you know you have to prepare 14 days? What does it say? Was Rosh Chodesh that I was talking to them? Say that. Elo, my Rabbi Bar Shime, Mishmei, the Ravine, Mehocha. From here, here, I answer. Vaidaber Hashem el Moshe b'midbar Sinai, Bashono Hashem is in the second year, Bachedesh in the first month. That means Nisan. Uksiv, Beyasu b'nei Yisrael sapesa b'me'adesh. So he's standing on Rosh Chodesh and telling him to make the Korban Pesach, which is 2 weeks later. Now the Gemara didn't conclude the proof. So that's why the Gemara asked the Kashi, what kind of proof is that? Ochanami here also, the same kash. Memai halil b'reshiyachik, because he was standing on Shchedesh. Who told you he was standing on the Rosh Chedesh? Dilmer be'arbo be'yachik b'chamish be'yachik, maybe he was standing on the 4th or the 5th of the month. So Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak comes to explain what Rav Shimi, Abba Rav Shimi wanted him to say. Expression, b'amidbar, has a special connotation. Ashid comes midbar be midbar. Sivach be midbar Sinai. Sivach was written there. By the Abba Hashem on Meshav midbar Sinai by Almeid be Echad Lachedesh Hasheni. So we see the expression of midbar Sinai means Vashchedesh. Be Echad Lachedesh. First day of the month. So Malon, just like there, by midbar me, the first day of the month. Afach here can also, when he's talking about Pesach, it was the first day of the month of Vashchedesh. And he said, on Rosh Chodesh, that they should make the Pesach B'Merah, 2 weeks later. So you see the preparation for Pesach, 2 weeks is enough time to do. The Kashi on what he said, it's just a question in general. We learn here about two psukim. Above, B'Midbar Tes, he quoted a pasuk, Yadav Hashem HaMarish B'Midbar Sinai, V'Shon HaShem is B'Chei V'Sharish. And then, below, Bamidba Alay Daba Shem Meshamidba Sin, we all made Echad Lachedesh, Echad Lachedesh Hasheni. So the first Pasik is Lachedesh Hasheni. And the previous Pasik, but later, is Lachedesh Harishon. So you ask a Nicht to let him write the Reish first about Lachedesh Harishon, before then after is Lachedesh Hasheni. Why does he write first the pasuk about Chedesh Hashem, then the pasuk about Chedesh Harishon? Omar Rav Menashe Bar Tachlifei Mishmei Darav Zeh Shomer. This tells us, Ein Mukdim U'Mukhar B'Torah. There's nothing earlier or later in the Torah. From the order in which it's in the Torah, you cannot know the sequence in which things happen. You'll have to judge by other circumstances, but not from the order. Go say that. We didn't say that rule that ain't moved to Pumukhabatero Elabitre and Yorin. If the things are written in two different subjects and two different parshas, so we say the fact that the sequence in the Torah doesn't do that with the sequence in time. Avol Bechad in Yorin, but both subjects are written in one parsha, one Indian. What comes first happened first. What comes after is happened after. So he's telling us there is mukdem mucha if it's in the same Indian. Because he wouldn't say so, we have a difficulty. Klal uprat. When you find a general statement, then you find a specific individual statement. So the rule is like this. We don't follow the general statement, we follow only the specific one. That's a rule, klal or prat. So we ignore the klal and we follow the prat. The prat is the perish of the klal. And that's only because we understand that the klal is followed by the prat. Now if you'll say that even in one inyan, we ignore the seder, then how do you know it's a klal or prat? Dilma prat or klal? Maybe the prat is said first, then the klal. And the klal or prat, the klal or prat means you're limited to the prat. But the prat or klal, we say the klal comes to tell us everything. Once the prat is followed by a klal, the klal comes to say everything. You're not limited by the prat. So it's a big difference. It's a klal or prat or prat or klal. Therefore, if you'll say, then even in one inyan, we don't know what's miucha and what's mukdim, then how can you ever know what's a klal or prat or a prat or klal? Say that. So the first kasha was from klal or prat. Now they ask you, and also prat or klal. So the principle is, naase klal, musaf ala prat. The klal is considered an addition to the prat and it means everything. So how do you know it's that? Yuma may be klal or prat hu. So you must say, in one Indian, there is a Seder to the Mikra Seder. If so, if you're forced because of the idea of klal v'prat v'prat v'klal to say there is an order, so who says only one parsha? Maybe in a number of parshas we'll say it's an order, because we darshan klal v'prat v'prat v'klal not only from the same parsha. If the prat is in one parsha and klal is another parsha, we also darshan klal v'prat v'prat v'klal. So that's the case. You have to say that even in more than one parasha, there's a seder. Again, if so, if the argument is, in order to make the prat and klal, the klal and prat have any validity, you have to say there is an order to the Torah, then afilu mitrei inyonim, even two inyonim, you have to say yes seder. So what are you telling me in two inyonim, there's no seder? So this wouldn't be a kash, it would be right. Raman Dhamma, according to the opinion that says, klal or prat, amir u'chokim, that are far from each other, and separate in yonim. Ain't don in eisim. You don't judge that they're klal or prat. Shabbat is good. This opinion holds, if they're two separate parshas, it can't function as a klal or prat. Very good, so we can say that two separate parshas are not written in the order. El Raman Dhamma, Donin, the one that said even in parshas that are far from each other, still we can learn the system of klal v'prat. It means even though they're separate parshas, we have confidence that they're said in sequence. Ma'i kalamim, what can you say? You said that in two separate parshas, ein mugdim u'mrucha. But if you dash in klal v'prat from separate parshas, you must say it's mugdim u'mrucha. Say the kasha. Enter the Gemara. I feel a man do my don, even if you hold, you learn klal v'prat from two parshas that are far apart from each other. Hanemila, one of these words, b'chad inyon, if it's the same subject, although it's far apart, but the same subject. Avol b'tvei inyon, ein don, but two separate subjects, we don't learn klal v'prat. This follows. The one who learns that you don't learn the klal v'prat at all unless it's one, in one parsha, close together, so here we'll hold any two parshas. We'll say there's no a mukta mukhabatel. The one that says you learn klal v'prat, either as far from each other, but has to be in the same inyan. So therefore, if you have two parshas far from each other but in the same inyan, so we say there is mukta mukhab. But parsha, they're not the same inyan, he also agrees. There's no mukdim ruach. Say that. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. Now there are two ways to avoid being eiva, having chomes on Pesach. One is biur, getting rid of it, and one is bitul. Even though you don't get rid of it, but you mevatel the chomes. Now, when you say boidik, boidik means biur, to get rid of the chomes, boidik. He said, "Ha beidik, even though it's beidik chomes to get rid of it, so if she about we have to be mevatel chomes. Frag din my time, why? If he's getting rid of chomes, so why should have to bother making bitul? Inem, should I say, mishum pivur, because crumbs might remain. When he's trying to get rid of chomes, so maybe he couldn't succeed in getting rid of the crumbs." So because of the crumbs, you have to be mevatel to make sure you have no chomes at all. Horoch shiv, crumbs are not choshev, and they're automatically bottled. They're like dirt. If they're small crumbs that people will overlook, then it's bottled to the dirt of the earth, and therefore it automatically is the same as people. So why say abedik tzorashi abatel? Say that. He came, and if you would want to say, "Kimin de mintel hu agav basic," since he guards the crumbs because of his house, they are considered important, and they're not both. I mean this. Yes, we agree that crumbs are unimportant; it's like dirt, and they're automatically bottled. But maybe that's only crumbs that are on the street. But in a house where the door is kept closed, so everything is guarded. So maybe those crumbs, since they're protected in a house, maybe they're not bottled. Why don't you try this one? It could be, that's why you have to be mevatel, because the crumbs are not bottled automatically since they're inside of a closed house. So brings a proof that's not so. The time you go to the Baraisi. So if they attain in the end of the figs, the last figs are not considered worth picking. When people pick the figs, they leave over the last ones because they're not ever going to be sweet. They won't develop. But this man is guarding his field. He has a fence around his field with a gate locked because there's grapes there. The grapes have to be picked yet. And he's guarding his field. So the last figs are like crumbs in the house, unimportant. But they're in a guarded place. The public does not have access to that field because he's guarding the field because he has grapes to pick at. Or another case, the last grapes, the people don't bother to pick because they're not good. It's like crumbs of bread. These grapes, nobody wants to pick them because they're not going to become ripe fully anyhow. But he's guarding his field because of the cucumber vines that he didn't pick yet, or the melon vines he didn't pick yet. So the field is locked, and people don't have access to the field. So the question is, are these last dates, last figs, or the last grapes, are they considered his property? He actually doesn't care for them, but it's in a closed place. So he says as follows, his masha balabais makpi, if you know the balabais and makpi, is displeased, everybody should pick them, all right? Asule mishum gezel, it's usher, it's gezel to take them. If you know the balabais, they don't want people to pick those last figs or grapes. B'chayom v'maisa, and since the balabais still retains his ownership, so therefore it's chayom v'maisa, anything that grows in a man's fields is chayvei maisa. But hefker will be potter maisa. The man makes his objects hefker, is potter maisa. But this, since it's not hefker, the owner doesn't like people to come and pick it, so it's chayvei maisa. Or bezman, shein balabayas market. Suppose he didn't demonstrate any hakpodi, he didn't say anything. So he says, stome, most likely doesn't care, and therefore mut toim mishum gezel. If you happen to be walking through the field, sometimes it's mutter to walk through a man's field, and you see these last things that weren't picked. A balabayas didn't make any indication that he wants them, you can pick them. Mutter, no gezel. And ubtule mishum maisa, not to separate maisa, because once it's hefka, the owner gives up any interest in having it, he abandons his rights to it, it's hefka, it's part of the maisa. So we see that even though it's surrounded by a fence, but he's not put the fence up in order to protect these last figs or the last grapes. The fence is something else. But we don't say since it's guarded by the fence, therefore it's kosher and it's not bottled. It's bottled. It's also crumbs. Even though the crumbs are in the house, but the house was not locked up in order to protect the crumbs. So the fact that the crumbs are protected against outside people doesn't mean anything. And the crumbs should be bottled. So why is it necessary if you're bathing hummus and getting rid of the hummus, why should you have to make beetle? Because of crumbs, that's not necessary because crumbs are bottled anyhow, see it. Oh my Lord. So what's the reason if it's bathing hummus and getting rid of it, still he has to be in a bottle of hummus too? You say, yeah, because we're afraid, Shemo Yimso might find on Pesach Gluska Noe a nice roll, we're dying to out of it, his mind will be on it. Rashi says, he won't be in a hurry to destroy it. He might think it over, but then later he'll destroy it. But that moment that is thinking it over is already over on by the Roy Malimas. A nice role was not included in the beetle. He didn't intend to be mevatel a choshev item like that. And he finds it on Pesach, before he goes about destroying it, he might consider it for a moment, and then in that moment is over. Keep your finger on the line, look at Tesis. The diet of his mind will be on it. Perish, the Tesis learns, different shot. For lo botul mela, it's not botul from itself. It means it was not included in the beetle. Diet of means his mind, at the time of the beetle, didn't intend to be mevatel such a chashev thing. That's all. That's how Tesis learns. He might find something that was too important to be included in the beetle. So he'll be Eva. Again, Perish. For the bottle may love Kimura people. It's not bottled by itself, like crumbs are bottled by itself. Let's say, a man in a bottle of chometz, he thinks he has no chometz. Later he finds he has a bottle of expensive whiskey hidden away someplace. He didn't intend to mevatel that. Had he known, he would have done something with it. He would have sold it or something else. To mevatel, it's too much for him to mevatel. It's not sincere. If he did sincere mevatel, a chosh of a thing. So that wasn't included in the beetle. It's his eva. So that's why we say he should mevatel beforehand. Again, I didn't say it right, I said it again. If a man is not mevatel chometz, there's beidik chometz, once he gets rid of it, so if he gets rid of everything, and then during Pesach he'll find a bottle of expensive schnapps. Now that's not something that's bottled by itself. So therefore he gets up before Pesach and he declares a bittul, that he means I'm a bottle no matter what it is. Whatever I'll find, I'm a bottle right now. So once more, why do you have to be mevatel after making Vikas Chometz? But afraid you might find something on the Pesach that's important, a Grus Kenoe, that's not bottled by itself. And therefore you have to make a declaration beforehand that I'm a mevatel no matter what I'll find, I'm a mevatel. Now Tesis goes on and talks. The Alpira Shakuntas Kosher. As you said, if he'll find it, he'll take some time before he destroys it. So my point, I'm going to ask right after that. Ki mash kachas lo nevat lo. What's the hurry of making beetle beforehand? Because he might find the Grus Kenoe. And you say, the Grus Kenoe, he won't be in a hurry to destroy it. So you might ask, let him nevat lo as soon as he finds it. What kind of kasha is that? Well, Pesach Rashi said that died to Aluvei, shechosa lo, he wants a spirit, nevat lo, from being nevat lo. Now we'll learn the kasha inside soon as learning more. Meantime, let's learn Rashi's pshat and Tesis's pshat. The kasha on Rashi will soon say again. Rashi's pshat is, why do you say after being mevatel, if he's just beidik, he might find on Pesach a piece of chometz, and therefore it'll be eva. It takes his time before he gets rid of it. So that's why after being mevatel beforehand to make sure he included everything. And Tesis's pshat is, after being mevatel because a piece of choshev chometz is not bottled by itself like crumbs. He has to make it a special beetle, the fairish beforehand, that there's a bottle everything no matter what. And the Gemara now, so we'll come back to that Tesis again. Frag the Gemara. So what if you'll find on Pesach? Why do we require to make a beetle beforehand? Are you afraid you might find chometz on Pesach? Ki meshachas, if he finds it in a bottle, let it be in a bottle. Whenever he finds it, let it be in a bottle. So that's good according to the Tesis's pshat. It's not bottled by itself. When you find it, let it be mevatel. But according to the Tesis's pshat, who says he's not in a hurry to destroy it, won't be in a hurry to mevatel either, Tesis asks. If a Tesis rejects Tesis's pshat, that it won't be in a hurry to destroy it, means it's not bottled by itself. Oh, see, more or less, it's not bottled by itself. Good. But let him be mevatel when he finds it. Why do you have to make a beetle before Pesach? And for the Gemara, Dilma Meshkaz, he might find it in the Bosi Yisrael after the time of Isa. It means after the middle of the Erev Pesach. And then it's no longer his. no longer staying in his jurisdiction. He cannot be mevatel. After a certain time, it's too late to be mevatel. You have to destroy it. And therefore, he'll be over in the time. After he finds it, he'll be over by the time it takes to be mevatel. So therefore, the time it takes to destroy it. So therefore, he's mevatel before Pesach. So therefore, he'll find something on Pesach. He knows it's already mevatel. Again, if he want to be mevatel before Pesach, and you'll think, in case I'll find any from it on Pesach, I'll be mevatel. You can't be mevatel on Pesach. You have to destroy it. So we're afraid by the time he destroys it, he'll be over on Ba'yoy Ba'yomach. Say that aside. Now, this piece of Gemara, there are two perushim. The Gemara said that even though it's basic chametz, it has to be mevatel, because maybe it's some important chametz that he didn't think about, he left over, it's not bottled by itself. That's why it has to be mevatel erev Pesach. So the question is, why should he have to mevatel erev Pesach? Let's wait till he finds it, let him mevatel it. He might as well find it on Pesach, maybe, and Pesach can be mevatel. Now the question is, let him destroy it. It could be on Pesach. If he finds it on Yontu, and Yontu you can destroy it. So he'll have chametz in his possession. The chametz didn't become bottled by itself. And therefore he is over for having chametz. Two perushim. Some say it's over at that time, but he cannot destroy his Pesach. And some say it's over retroactively from the beginning, even before he found it is over. Two perushim. So once more. Question, why do you have to make bittul before Pesach? Let's wait until you find chametz, and then you'll be mevatel. Answer, you might find it on Pesach. And when on Pesach, it's too late to be mevatel. The question, let him destroy it as soon as he finds it. So according to Rashi, we'll say because he'll hesitate a moment and think it over, and that moment is over. But according to Tesis, we're not worried about that. But we say, when he finds it on Pesach, he's over already because he didn't destroy it beforehand. And now he can't destroy it on Pesach. So while he's having it, before he can come to the time of Chol HaMoed when he can destroy it, he's over on it. That's one pshat. Another pshat is over retroactively, even before he found it is over. So one pshat is over only when he finds it is over, until the time that he destroys it. Another pshat is over retroactively, the whole time is over, even though he didn't know he had it. Let's say that briefly, that's where we're stopping.
This shiur was made available by kolavigda.com. To sponsor a shiur and help us grow the Avigda Miller's Gemara Shiurim, call or text 347-541-8051 or email us at kolavigdor.com. That's info@kolavigdor. Thank you.